Hello, everyone, and welcome in celebrating 50 years of Mountaineer football, as today we are looking forward to Week 10 as Mitchell takes on Madison at home, coming off a loss to Mountain Heritage last week. And, guys, just not the outcome we hoped for there. Mitchell hung around for about a half, but some things just did not go right in the second half and gave Mountain Heritage the victory. But I'm Brody Miller, Chris Pittman, Danny Willis today as we are into some of the most exciting years in recent history, some of the strangest years in recent history that we've had, 2021, 2022, and 2023. And starting us off in 2021, no fall season. So let's talk about that first. No fall season due to COVID-19. And Chris, I remember you and myself and Brett Clore were going to Hickory to call girls basketball regional finals. We did that game and just as normal. And the next week, no girls state championship. COVID ensued. Come fall time, we didn't play. So fast forward about 10 months, we're finally playing football in the spring, and it's a cold, rainy night as Statesville comes to town. Let's start off and talk about the first undefeated regular season that Mitchell had that year.
Well, Brody, I think we were playing in what, spring 21? Mm-hmm. We played 2020 in spring of 21, and it was a very unusual year for football and athletics statewide, because if you think back about it, and this was the first ever occurrence. We were actually at one point playing football and basketball at the same time. But the spring of 21 was very unusual year. And again, we started out, I know that game, but we played against Statesville in February. I questioned my sanity because I stood on the sidelines in the rain and froze to death and thought, boy, I got to find something else to do. But it was an unusual time, no doubt.
And usually in Mitchell High sports, we're playing football right up to the opening tip of basketball. It was opposite basketball played. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think we played a playoff game on Tuesday, Thursday, and played football on Friday.
We did.
For the first regular season game.
Yeah, that was a very unusual time. I know I had a whole lot of anxiety in the fall of 2020 because I thought, what are we going to do here? We ain't playing football. It was a crazy time, no doubt.
And it was. And Danny, chime in. It was a cold, rainy night against Statesville. Next week we went to Smoky Mountain, one of the coldest games we've ever done outside at Smoky Mountain. The breeze blowing through, and later on in the year we played. Was it Forest Hills down in Charlotte?
Yes, I like to froze to death.
You think, you're going to Charlotte, 45, 50 degrees, man, boy, it was windy and cold and just an unusual season. But all that aside, Mitchell still came out that year and performed very well under quarterback Ty Turbefield. He would have been a sophomore in this spring season. And, this core group right here really put together some good things over the next two or three years from this point.
I looked at that first game and Statesville come rolling in here. And they were always known as a powerhouse. And they rolled up like, well, we're going to roll over these boys like there's nothing. And they crawled on the bus at the end of the game. It's like, we're not playing them anymore.
Well, fellas, that's one of the things. Of course, by now, we're nearing the end of the natural grass in Memorial Stadium. And that grass and that natural turf definitely gave us an advantage. Sometimes with weather conditions, and it certainly played an important, or it played a part in the outcome of that game for sure.
Yep, certainly did. And later on in that year, Mitchell played Robbinsville in the second round. Shortened season, shortened playoff field. So this was, I think, had we beat Robbinsville, we got a first round bye, lost to Robbinsville. Had we won there, we would have went to the Western Regional Finals and then on the state championship. So still making a deep playoff run, even though we only played one game. Had to be ranked high enough to even get in the field that year because of logistics and things like that.
Right. Yeah. So then I guess, Brody, we fast forward to the fall of 21, which was a really good year, a banner year for Mitchell football, no doubt.
It was, certainly. And, turn right around, you go into some summer workout, the whole persona was different. Usually end of school year, you're doing some light work and, we knew it would be physically beating, and we had the same core team coming in, and Mitchell really had a good season in the fall there, but still had some COVID trials carrying on. School was back to normal session, but, we opened up and through 4 weeks, we're 2-2. We played, I think it was McDowell, had some COVID issues. And yeah, we scheduled, was it Hampton, I think?
Yes.
We scheduled Hampton.
And then
they bailed out on that Thursday night.
Then we also tried to get, what's the one going to Johnson?
Elizabeth.
Elizabethan.
So we went through three opponents. Friday morning, we're like, well, we're not going to have a game. And picked up Lake Norman. That was that week four of that week,
what?
I think.
At what?
10 o'clock on Friday morning. Traveled down to Lake Norman on I-77 just north of Charlotte. Mitchell lost, I believe, 15-12 to score there. But, you know, key thing about that season, you played good football teams. Andrews was really solid that year, and Lake Norman, good football team, didn't know much about them. And we played with both of those. But Mitchell really turned it around, dominated through conference play, and made a deep playoff run this year to make it to the state championship at Chapel Hill.
Well, you know, we come out Brody in Coach Pittman's tenure, his first 4 years, he had Ben Young. Then we had 2 years with Noah. And, again, this young man named Ty Turbefield came along and just really became a superstar. Very dependable, very good kid, made lots of decisions. I knew Mitchell football was okay. I guess it was probably Christmas of 2020, Christmas Eve of 2020. For some reason, I was in the field house, and I heard weights clicking in the weight room. And now this Christmas Eve now, and I went in there, and Ty Turbefield's lifting weights. And I thought, Mitchell football's okay because this kid's committed. And so Ty Turbefield had a great career at Mitchell, and certainly, you know, he was one of the main reasons that we wound up in the state championship game. I'm sure that Ty would probably defer a lot of that credit. But we had a lot of other guys who committed. We had good kids all across the board, good athletes. They bought in. Our offensive line, our guys up front, the big boys played well, came together. And that 2021 season was a special year, and I'll always remember that being one of the most special years for Mitchell football.
Well, and Ty was a great leader. Danny, you and I talked about leaders over the years coming home from Mountain Heritage last week. We had great leaders all through all these seasons that we've covered, and Ty Turbefield was a great example of that as well.
Well, Ty was a winner. Mm-hmm. He was a winner, and today I would say this about Ty Turbefield. He's a better young man than he was a football player.
Yes,
so
that's so true.
He's a class guy, and that's who you win with, fellas. Is you win with guys who are, first of all, they're good citizens, they're good students, and they become good athletes.
And this was, I think, the first year that we saw the larger playoff field that we had for the last 4 years. And I remember thinking, I believe we played South Davidson, won pretty handily in the first round. But played a good Swain team in the second round. We had a tough road to the state championship that year.
Yeah.
And, you know, New Swain, that would be a good game. And Mitchell just dominated. And I remember thinking after that game, man, we got a chance to make a run here. Dominated Thomasville the next week, won by, what, 7 or 8 points, but, you know, big game there. Went to Mount Airy and won. That was a big road game. Several highlights, and then come back and beat Robbinsville to go on to the state championship and take on Tarboro. So just an incredible playoff run that Mitchell had this year. And like you said, Chris, it was led by Ty Turbefield. This was a group of winners.
Well, one of the things too that I'll interject, and again, we're now kind of cross referencing things, but back at the start of this year, the Asheville Citizen Times did a thing with best stadium and best football culture in West North Carolina. And after the hurricane last year, I was in Spruce Pine, and there was a group of relief people who were here from Robbinsville, because Robbinsville and that part of the state didn't get hit as hard as we were. And I just happened to have on one of my Mitchell logo shirts and a hat or whatever. And there's a young guy here, as a relief effort from Robbinsville, who was on that team that we beat to go to the state championship game. And he said, when we stood on the sidelines and we seen the Mitchell football team come out of the woods, it scared the holy crap out of us. and so, you know, we take a lot of pride in our football culture in Mitchell County and stuff. And so, and as a result of that, we now are benefiting from things that those guys before set mm-hmm. kind of set the ball for in the legacy. So that Robbinsville game was a great game, and it is a really good atmosphere. it's one of those times that you will always remember.
Yeah, and that season, at least under Coach Travis Pittman, we'll say the last 10 to 15 years, that year I think we had the best environment season long here through the playoffs. I mean, we took a huge number once again, the state championship at Chapel Hill, but we've talked about in the last few weeks, you know, the teams that should have been. We fast forward into 2022, you know, you lose some key seniors out of the backfield, Carter Hull, Tanner Duncan, some big guys up front. But still, you felt good about the 2022 season coming in. Ty in that group senior year, kind of felt like that was the team that should have been. However, it just didn't click in the fall of 2022 for that team. I believe we were second round exit that year as we went to Drone and lost.
Well, you know, one of the things, fellas, again, we talk about that almost unhumanly season that Ty had. When he was a junior, he got hurt in basketball season, and I'm not blaming them, but he got hurt in basketball season, and really from that point through the end of his senior season, he really was kind of hampered by injuries. He wasn't the threat to run as a senior that he was when he was a junior, and you know he was just starting to come around, and he got a sprained ankle in the McDowell game. Mm-hmm. And I think between his pre-existing conditions that he had with his hamstring or whatever that injury was.
He had a hernia.
Right. And that and then the sprained ankle, he wasn't the same guy as a senior. And I feel like that had Ty not been injured, I think it could have been another good year. But, hey, it is what it is.
Certainly. And, you know, if you remember, and they were just never got clicking. That was week two, I think, second week that we played McDowell and won, but Ty got hurt. Next week, we'll talk about kind of the Caleb Cook years next week. He come in, played a really good game as a sophomore against Watauga here, probably one of the toughest opponents we played all year.
Right.
And we lost, was it by three or four?
Right at the end.
Yeah. Had a chance to score and win. Yeah. And, you know, Ty came back and just never really got, you know, we won some games, but it just never was really crisp that season. Played a good Drone team, and they ended up going to the regional finals that year, as they were new welcomes into our conference, so to speak. And so, but, you know, still a good span of Mitchell football right here, and it continues on, losing to the eventual state champions there with Tarboro and teams that making deep runs.
Yeah,
guys. Let's hit our trivia question real quick and talk about Madison. Be thinking here in the next couple of minutes, top quarterbacks. We've kind of, the way this show's progressed, have went by quarterback eras for the last several years and been talking about that. So be thinking, we'll answer that in just a minute, some of the top quarterbacks Mitchell has. Guys, a few thoughts this week as we take on back at home to take on Madison this Friday night.
Madison struggled. I mean, let's see. They got beat Friday night by Owen. So they're struggling, but we'll still have to play football because it doesn't matter how you struggle every night, you know, you better be ready to play. And hopefully we're not too bad injured after Friday night. We come out of that. We got to play tough. The key that we talked about Friday night, we have to play mistake-free football. The games we've lost, if you count the turnovers we've lost by, that's usually the number of touchdowns we've lost by. So we got to take care of the ball and dominate on the line.
Yeah, Danny, I would reiterate that. Madison started out the season pretty well. I think they won three or four games early. But then they have struggled recently and stuff. And we do. I mean, you know, here's the thing. It's a broken record. We got to block and tackle. And take care of the ball. I mean, it's just that simple. You
know, just good old fundamentals.
Just good old fundamentals. It is. I do think by now, I'm sure that the rumor mill has spread far and wide. I think our quarterback sprained his non-throwing collarbone and stuff. I don't think that most recently we've heard that quite possibly it was not broken. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he will be able to play tonight against Madison probably will be a game time decision. But you know, we just got to show up and play as good as we can play, and we got to put a W in the win column tonight and get ready to play Avery next week and see how it shakes out and see if we qualify for playoffs and if so, where we wind up.
Certainly. Well, guys, answer some questions here. Top quarterbacks, kind of our trivia question this year. Top quarterbacks that Mitchell has had over the years.
Well, Brody, I'll take the early years because this probably predates you and Danny. I think Mitchell's first really good quarterback was Ken Burnett, and he quarterbacked in 1985 and 86, and boy, he was a thoroughbred. I mean, he was a load. He was kind of ahead of his game, ahead of his time. He was about 6 feet 1 inches tall. He weighed 185 pounds and was solid as a rock. And he ran Coach Leland Riddle's wishbone offense to perfection. I mean, really good. Now, we had some other good guys after Ken who may not have been physically or statistically as imposing. Coach Joy Robinson was at Mount Heritage and Brian Evans. We had some guys through there. But then I think you kind of fast forward, and our next really, really, really top echelon quarterback was Joe Holman. I know as a junior and senior both years, he ran four and threw four. 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons, and he was one tough customer. I mean, he's the kind of guy that if you're going to have a gunslinging at the OK crowd, you're going to have Joe Holman, because he wasn't afraid of nobody. Trust me, on it. He'd go fighting. He'd go hunting with a bear hunting with a switch. I mean, he is a tough nut. So, you know, he was a really good quarterback and a really good player all around. And then you kind of move forward past him, and I think our next guy that we have to mention is Justin Juggy Hughes, who he was part of a two or three headed beast quarterback system when he was at Harris Middle School and Juggy was a little bit undersized, and so Juggy wouldn't have fitted before he played. We were kind of in a spread offense, and Juggy was about 5'8", and so he walked 5'8", 5'9". He wasn't a real prototypical gun quarterback because he couldn't see down the field. So Coach Barnett tweaked the offense, and when Juggy was a freshman, he didn't want to be a quarterback anymore. He wanted to be something else. But when he was a junior, he and Troy Self kind of split time early in the year to see who would be the man. And about middle of his junior year, he kind of come into his own, and ironically, he led us to the regional championship game as a junior. And so when he was a junior, he probably rushed for about 1,000 yards, maybe a little bit more, but he'd done that in the last half of the season. And when he was a senior, well, he was a thoroughbred. He led the nation in rushing yardage by quarterback of all 1A schools in the nation. Now, we didn't advance as far. I think Swain beat us in the third round. So there's some guys that passed him up there at the end of the season, but he was a dandy quarterback there. And then, of course, now we come forward to Coach Pittman's there, and Dan, you run with it from there.
Well, next one up would be Ben. Started 4 years, had a fan, but we went to the state. Was it his sophomore year?
2015.
And Ben was sort of the same way. Ben just soon run over somebody as to run out of bounds. And we've seen several guys want to tackle him, and they get up, and it's like, hope he don't run to my side again.
Yeah.
But, you know, comments from you guys about Ben.
Well, Ben was definitely was our most flamboyant dresser. There's no question about that and stuff. And he's a crackerjack. You know, he had a really great career, had a cannon for an arm. Yeah. I mean, he could drive the ball down the field through the air, 50-yard passes, nothing for him. And so he probably I would say that of all of our quarterbacks that we've had at Mitchell, probably the strongest arm would probably be either Joe or Ben, one of the two.
Right.
And, boy, he's fun to watch play.
Yep.
And right after him, you know, you had Noah Pittman. We talked about that last week. Just a good player that he was, running and passing threat as well. And obviously we've talked about it here today, Ty Turbefield, you know, several good leaders on this team at the quarterback position, makes all the difference in the world in your offense.
Well, I tell you, guys, we're kind of now up to the last couple, 3 years here, which we'll talk about next week. And a really neat thing from my perspective is I've had the pleasure to stand on the field, watch all these guys play, and boy, it sure has been fun.
Certainly. Remember, three ways you can find this show: Metro Mountaineer Facebook page. You can find it on there. You can find it in our pregame show at 7 o'clock on WTOE Friday nights, or in the Bruce Eicher Morning Show Friday mornings in the 7 o'clock hour. Mitchell and Madison this week as the Mountaineers return to Memorial Stadium. We'll have
live coverage on WTOE. Thank you for joining us this week celebrating 50 years of Mountaineer football.